Pujya Gurudev, Swami Chinmayanandaji, was once invited to a temple where they were doing Chappan Bhog. I think those of you are in the Chinmaya Gokul group may have heard this story. But in this temple, they were doing a special festival where they were offering 56 foods, a variety of foods to the Lord as prasad. Everybody had cooked and brought. And Pujya Gurudev, Swamiji Chinmayanandaji, was one of the guests. He was a special invitee. And so he was sitting down for bhiksha after the puja, and the devotees were offering him food. And they brought all the 56 items in front of him, you know, to put it in his plate. And he said, you know, I can't eat all those. I only want 3 or 4. They said, no, Gurudev, we have all of us made it with so much love. You must try all of them. He said, to satisfy hunger, 3 or 4 items are enough. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita, even though there are large number of ideas that Bhagavan has given us in the 700 verses, we should pick 3 or 4 that directly appeal to us. And that is all that is required to satisfy our hunger, to satisfy our thirst. Because on the spiritual journey, there are various paths. There's the path of service, path of love, path of knowledge, path of yoga, meditation. And so not all the paths may suit us. So we may predominantly be karma yogi, doing service or love for God or knowledge or meditation. Also, as our spiritual journey unfolds, we may find ourselves attracted to a different path. In the beginning, I was interested in work or interested in doing a lot of puja, and that is good. But then I wanted to know, who is this God that I am serving? Who is this God I am worshipping? So then I picked the path of knowledge. And then the teacher told me that meditation is the fastest way. So certain ideas may appeal to us, and in different parts of our spiritual journey, in different paths, we may progress where we may say, you know what? First 9th and 13th chapter I couldn't understand, but now, yes, you know, it appeals to me, especially after listening to Vimalji, as we did. 9th and 13th chapter is exactly the same ideas. And so that is the benefit of studying Bhagavad Gita. That is how the Bhagavad Gita should be studied. And what we try to do is try to give a variety of ideas, a variety of opinions. And that's how you can continue your spiritual path, your spiritual journey. So far in the 6th chapter, we have studied everything about meditation. Bhagavan has told us what is meditation, why you should meditate, how you should meditate, what are the benefits of meditation, what are the obstacles, and how does this yogi function in the world where he sees oneness everywhere because he has discovered God within, and then he sees God everywhere. And then Arjuna, at the end of the session, as always we have here, question-answer session. So Bhagavan says, okay, you have any questions? You can ask. So Arjuna asks one question, how to quieten the mind, because he has tried to meditate, and quietening the mind for him and for all of us when we start meditation, quietening the mind is extremely difficult. So the Lord says, with practice and with detachment, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairage na cha grihyate. Mind can be controlled. You just have to regularly just show up. Even if your mind is running 100 miles an hour or nothing is happening, just sit for meditation. Say, Lord, this is my private appointment with you. And no matter what happens, 5 to 5:30 or 6 to 6:30, whatever time, I will just sit. Even if my mind wanders, I'll just chant the name of the Lord. I'll do mala. But take out some private time where I and the Lord alone are there. So meditation is an individual activity. It's not a group activity. And it should be done. And you don't have to have many techniques, just chanting. Next 2 weeks, we will do 2 different techniques of meditation at the end. I'll shorten my talk so we can. And then also, you have seen my website. I'll write it again, where there are some guided meditations. So that's why this chapter is very helpful in the meditation. So then Arjuna asks one more question, where he says, Lord, there is a seeker, Shraddhaya, Shraddhayopetaha. He has great Shraddha, great faith in the Lord, but for one of the three reasons, he does not reach the highest goal. Either because he put effort but not enough effort, Ayati, Shraddhayopetaha, Yoga Chalita Manasa. The individual is involved in meditation, but he falls down from it, either because he didn't put enough effort or a temptation came. You know, he was very sincere on the path, but then some idea came and he got sidetracked. He got very involved in doing something and his mind was so focused, you know, that he went away from meditation. Or the third one is he did not have enough time. He was sincere, he put in all the effort, he had controlled his vasanas, he didn't even have any temptations, his mind was focused, but his body dropped because for this particular lifetime, his karmas, his prarabdha karma had ended and it was time for him to move to a new life, to a new body. And so what happens to such an individual, Arjuna asks, is his life wasted like we talked last week, like a cloud which comes, which is dark and is going to give us rain, and then the wind comes and blows the cloud away. And so the cloud gets dispersed and does not give any rain to the thirsty crops. And we say, oh, that cloud's life in a way was a waste. So is this individual's life also waste? That's what Arjuna asked. And so Bhagwan last week he said, O Tat, O son, never this effort in this direction is never wasted. You don't have to worry about it. Not anything that is put, any good effort or any bad effort has to give the result. So don't worry. Whatever effort you put, life is a continuity. And we'll talk about that today. Again, Bhagwan will tell us what happens to such an individual who gives up his body and has not reached the highest goal. So what happens? So Bhagwan has told us, na eva na amutra, neither in this world nor in the other world is there any loss. Vinashas tasya vidyate. So what happens? So verse number 41, chapter 6. So Bhagwan says, prapya punya kritam lokan. Ushitva shashati samaha, shvati samaha, shuchi nam shrimatam gehe, yoga bhrashto bhijayate. Together, prapya punya kritam lokan. Ushitva shashvati samaha shuchi nam shrimatam gehe yoga bhrashto bhijayate. So, there are two kinds of individuals who are doing good work. You know, there are people, we are not talking about those who have committed sins and all, that is not addressed in this verse. What he's talking about, people who are doing good, who are serving society, who are very generous, very kind, very loving. But there are two kinds. They could be desire prompted or desirelessness. So what do we mean by that? That means somebody is doing good work and doing donation. But why? So that his name should come in the paper and then they should put a plaque with his name on the board. And then, you know, he wants to stand for election next time in 2 years. So that way people will say, wow, he's such a nice individual, he'll get a lot of positive publicity. So he's doing good work, but with a desire that out of the good work, I should get something out of it. You know, it's helping is okay, but I should benefit. Or the other thing is that if I do good work, I will go to heaven. So that is another also a desire. You say, well, heaven is wonderful. Yes, but even a desire for heaven is a desire, and especially people who do a lot of yajnas, especially in the olden days, they used to do these elaborate yajnas where the performer, the person who is doing the yagna, not the panditji, but the owner of the house, it is guaranteed that he will go to heaven. So the desire could be either for joy in this world or for joy in the higher world. So a person, so he still has some vasanas, he still has some desires, he still wants something out of it. See, one is the desirelessness, where he says, I don't care, I don't want anything out of it. All I want to do is work and help society, whether people acknowledge or not, whether people thank me or not. My idea is spontaneously service flows out of such an individual. So, but the first one who is desire prompted, what happens to him? So he says, he goes to heaven and prapya, having obtained punya kritan lokan. Punya kritan means those who have done good deeds, punya kritan, they go to lokan, they go to worlds, that is heaven. That heaven is where good people go. So prapya punya kritan lokan, ushitva shashvati samaha, and having stayed in that heaven for long period of time. When they say shashvati samaha, they mean long period of time this person stays in heaven. And some people say even thousands of years. We'll talk about that. Having stayed in heaven for long period of time, what happens to this individual? His journey is not finished because he still has some trace of vasana, some trace of desire in him. So he comes back to earth, but in a beautiful home. Shuchi nam shri matam gehe. Gehe means house. Shuchi nam means pure. Pure, and shri mata means wealthy. So he comes to the home of wealthy people who are very pure, who are very kind, and do a lot of charity, do a lot of prayers, and pujas are happening in their house, mantras and yagnas. And yoga bhrashta. Bhrashta means one who has fallen from yoga, from this highest goal, has not yet reached because of the desire. Abhijayate. He is born again. So this person is born again in the house of wealthy and pure people. So now what is heaven? Heaven, you know, we know is a zone of enjoyment where we enjoy all our karmas that we have done. So in heaven, the individual enjoys the results of his good karmas, whatever good karmas we have done. But there is a difference between joys enjoyed on the earth and joys enjoyed in heaven. Joys that we enjoy in earth are mixed because we know that I'm getting old now, or you may have some sickness, you may have old age, and then you have fear of death. In heaven, as Nachiketa tells Yamaraj when he meets him in Kathopanishad, he said the people don't fear you because there is no old age, there is no sickness in heaven, there is no death. Yes, when your punya karmas end, you have to come back to earth. Also, the degree of joy is much higher. He says it's thousands of times more than the joy that we experience on this earth. It is the same kind of joy, but it is, the degree is higher. The third difference between joys in heaven and joys on earth are that they don't create vasanas. See, here when you enjoy something a lot, say you enjoy eating or drinking or smoking or parties or shopping or whatever, you know, earning, making money, business, politics, power, anything that you get a lot of joy out of and you put a lot of effort, it creates more vasanas. It creates more tendencies, and then you want to do it more and more and more. But joys in heaven do not create any new vasanas because you are just enjoying. It's like money you have put in the bank and you are spending it. And then when it's over, you come down. So that is the difference. And as we said, it is everlasting. It is long period. In fact, they say that one day in heaven is equal to 1 year on the earth. So if the person spends, it could be up to 50,000 years. You know, it says, oh, it seems like a long time. But it's all relative. It's like, for example, if I have sound sleep, 8 hours, 7, 8 hours, and I wake up in the morning, somebody wakes me up, come on, come on, it is time to go to work. He said, what? It's already morning. I just went to sleep. 8 hours passes just like that. On the other hand, if there is a mother who is sitting with her child who is very sick, and she has to give him Tylenol every hour because he has a fever, and then she has to check his temperature and he's coughing. And for her, the 8 hours is so difficult to pass. It's so hard for her to see her child, you know, suffering high fever, cough. So that same 8 hours for one individual, or like say some people playing cards, right? Teen patti at night. And they are playing all night, you know, what cards, diamonds, spades, clubs, that's all they are thinking. And they say, "Arey," somebody says, "it's 5 o'clock in the morning." 5 o'clock? And we played all night, we didn't even know. Why? Because their mind is on one thing, and that is cards and cards. So similarly, in heaven, the time passes in such a way that 1 year in heaven is equal to thousands of years here. So the point is that they spend a long period of time in earthly times, but for them it is very short. And we talked about desire and desireless. So since they have some desires, they are born in the house of pure and prosperous, where he doesn't have to worry about his how he's going to have his living. And, you know, like kids born here, you know, in the way they are, because they have all the comforts compared to a child born in Africa or somewhere in India. They from childhood, they are born in relatively prosperous homes. You know, most of us are doing well. But the home is also pure. It's not only where money is everything, but they are also studying. There is puja going on. There is rituals going on. And the parents become examples for this child, for the child to grow. And heaven is not a place we had talked about last time. It's not a place. It is a zone of evolution, zone of consciousness. So there are 7 zones where the mind goes to higher and higher zones of enjoyment or below the zones of suffering, the various hells. So what happens to this individual is that he is about to merge into that highest state, into that state of consciousness. But some desire pulls him back. He's about to merge and it pulls him back. He's almost there. So like when we are driving, you know, you sometimes you're very tired and you're almost ready to fall asleep and then you wake up. No. I shouldn't sleep while I'm driving. And then it happens second time and then you say, no, I have to pull over and get a cup of coffee. Or like it happens in this class also. People are just about to doze and then I tell a joke and they all wake up. So that is what happens to these individuals. They are about to merge into that highest, but they get pulled back by a vasana. So that's why they say, reduce your vasanas. Don't have strong desires for anything. Don't have strong likes and dislikes. Whatever comes is God's gift to us. And what is death? Death is where your entity ends. You're no longer a voter. Your name is removed from the voting list. The bank won't honor your checks. And your body, you know, what happens to the body? It gets cremated. And all our relationships are with the body. All our investments, our insurance, our wife, husband, children, all that ends. Talking about insurance, this lady tells her husband, "You waste a lot of money. You waste so much money." He said, "When did I ever waste money?" She says, "You know that life insurance policy you bought 5 years ago? We haven't used it even once." So nothing, none of these activities happen because my body ends. And who goes? Who goes? Who is this individual? See, this body gets burnt, right? Burnt or cremated or buried. Nothing happens to the consciousness, the om, that is everywhere in the whole universe. What goes is the mind and intellect, which we call as the subtle body. Some people call it the shuttle body because it shuttles. From this earth, it goes to heaven and then comes back. So it is the subtle body which leaves the gross body and goes up. Or down, you know, down means it's not again up or down in distance, but higher zones or lower zones. And based on what? Based on my vasana. So what propels is the vasana. It's like a gun, when you have a barrel and you shoot, where does the bullet go? Where the barrel is pointing, right? If the barrel is pointing here, the bullet is not going to go there. So similarly, it's my vasanas which propel me in the direction of where I'm going. Just as on the earth also, you know, there's a person who loves to drink and another person who loves business. Another person is a robber. Another person is a very spiritual person. When they all four wake up in the morning, where are they going to go? The alcoholic is going to go to the bar. The robber is going to try and find a home to steal. The spiritual person is going to go to the temple. The business person is going to go to his shop of business. So each individual is propelled by his vasanas. And then the next birth, his vasanas continue. The vasanas don't end. And so he will get the kind of home where his vasanas can be fulfilled. So for example, somebody has pig vasana. You say they do? Yeah, some people do. They say, you know, pig's life is so beautiful. He doesn't have to do anything. He gets up in the morning. He has food to eat all day. He doesn't have to worry about his teenage son. He doesn't have to worry about his spouse, his parents. Sara din khana khao, khana khao. He's having fun. What's wrong? He can roll around in the mud. He doesn't have to take a bath. Nobody takes him into the shower. But when, what happens? But finally, when the pig is led to the slaughterhouse and then his neck is being chopped to make ham, then he says, oh God, why did I become a pig? So whatever vasanas we have, if you have that pig vasana, you will go in the home of, in the womb of Mrs. Pig, you know, be born again. So what happens is that we have two kinds of punyas. One is called Shukla Punya and one is called Krishna Punya. Krishna is not Bhagavan Shri Krishna, dark and bright. So Krishna Punya are the ones that give us joy. So whatever joys we are enjoying, if you are, you know, if you have comfortable house, money, car, then you are exhausting your Krishna Punyas. You have done a lot of good Punyas. That's why we are in this country and living comfortably. And Shukla Punya, Shukla are the ones that take us spiritually upward. So if I have done a lot of Shukla Punyas, then I will go to an environment where this kind of activities are happening. And that is what happens to this individual. He gets both. He gets Krishna Punya, he gets a wealthy home, and he gets Shukla Punya, where his spiritual journey can continue. So what this teaches us, that as parents, when children are born in our home, it is important not only for us, okay, my child's birthday, I gave him a gift, so okay, my duty is over, or I paid for his school and college, and that is good. But more important is that we have to provide the right atmosphere where our children can continue their spiritual journey. So it's very important to provide them an atmosphere where pujas are done, sadhanas are done, Swamiji's are welcomed. You know, when Swamiji's come, bring your children to meet them, you know, offer them bhiksha, and then teach them the values. You can teach them at home, and here Swami Chinmayananda has set up this Bal Vihar for all of us. So the children should continue their spiritual journey and they should be taught who is God and how I am connected to God, so that this child can progress spiritually. So as parents, that is our duty. We have to do that. Not only the food and comfort and education is good, but we neglect this other part, and that's what this shloka tells us. So such people who have done a lot of good deeds but have some desires, they are born in the house of Shuchi Nam Shri Matam Gehe, pure and prosperous parents.